This is the Max Kellerman Show. Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app at SiriusXM Channel 80 and wherever you get your podcasts. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance.
Kevin Durant up to 30 points in game number two as the Bucks been bewildered to start this series in Brooklyn. The biggest playoff win in Nets franchise history.
So many people told me the Bucks are going to beat the Nets. Andre Snellings, Dr. Dre, very own at ESPN analytics guy. Kendrick Perkins, Big Perk, Carry On. Everyone's going to beat the Nets. And I was like, well, look, it'll be a good series without James Harden. The only chance, if they have James Harden, the only prayer they have is to hope that the Nets haven't had enough time to get their defense together to the point where, you know, and even then the Nets are going to win. Timeout. They didn't have enough time to get their defense together, and they don't even have James Harden. And the Bucks don't have a chance. Game one, you could say, well, the Bucks were missing open shots. Game two, how do you describe game two? And one of the most kind of... one of the least talked about storylines here, think of how the Clippers did Blake Griffin with the contract and the whole thing and then the trade. And Blake Griffin was like, I'm not playing for Detroit last year or so. Wouldn't dunk anything. Clippers get him on a buyout. I'm sorry, Nets get him on a buyout. It turns out Blake Griffin, what did he give him, 18 and 14 or something like that in game one? And in game two, dunked all over Giannis. And the eyeball test said, oh, yeah, that's Blake Griffin. Understand, it's not like Blake forgot how to play. It's that he couldn't jump anymore. And since he's not a great shooter or a great defender, or an amazing passer, what's the deal? Like, why pick up Blake Griffin? What's the point? Just a body. He's like an average, below average NBA body. But if Blake Griffin's jumping like that, and he's the third or he's the fourth option on your team... good Lord! It's a big three. KD, Kyrie, and Blake. Now, that's without James Harden. Do you understand what's going to happen? I don't think the basketball gods will allow this Nets team to be all healthy at the same time. I don't think it's going to happen. It's like it's too much for our brains to comprehend. So the basketball gods are going to make sure always someone's hurt. I told everyone when I saw the Nets... KD and Kyrie, I was like, I don't know if they're getting out of the East. They add James Harden. I'm like, I don't know. They lost a lot of depth because they had injuries. They had Caris LeVert and Dinwiddie and this one and that one. And then they got an injury and then they traded. And it's like they're top heavy. And I don't know, Kyrie and James Harden be able to share the same backcourt. There's only one ball. They worked that out right quick. And even without KD, they almost never lost. And at a certain point, I told everybody, if those guys are healthy, there's not a single team in the NBA, including the Lakers, if LeBron and AD are healthy, that will take the Nets seven games. No one will go the distance with this team. It's the greatest offense, going to be the greatest offense in the history of American team sports. And if they can even have an average defense, and it only took them 2 or 3 weeks during the regular season to get the defense to about average, then there's no stopping them. I'd even say if they just had some continuity and health, they're better than the KD Warriors. Because the KD Warriors, don't forget, 73-win team, doesn't win the championship, add KD, now they're unbeatable. But the James Harden, Mike D'Antoni Rockets, even without Chris Paul, and even having the worst shooting night of all time, literally 0 for 27 one stretch during this game, 0 for 27 from 3, no Chris Paul. James Harden and the Rockets only lost by single digits at home in Game 7 to the KD Steph Warriors because they played the most efficient brand of basketball of all time. Daryl Morey, Mike D'Antoni, James Harden. Well, Steve Nash is the head coach, but D'Antoni's on the bench, and there's James Harden. And they're running a Harden-D'Antoni offense, but they're doing it with the Warriors' talent. KD equals KD. Harden equals Steph. They're roughly equivalent players. Klay Thompson's a better two-way player because he's a defender. He's longer and he's a better shooter than Kyrie. I think most people would say Kyrie's a better player than Klay because, at least offensively, Kyrie can get his own shot and hit it from anywhere, put the ball on the floor, make decisions, the whole thing on a different level. And then who was the fourth option on Golden State? Because you know who the fourth option on this team is? I thought it was Joe Harris. It's Blake Griffin. Joe Harris is the fifth option. It's insane. It is insane. And you want to beat that with the Milwaukee Bucks behind Giannis, and then his main support is Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday. I mean, it's a nice team, but they're not going to get a whiff in this series. And this is, again, without Harden. Kevin Durant on going into Milwaukee.
We know that their crowd is going to be in it from the second we get on the floor for warmups. And we know their guys play more, they play better and more comfortable when they're in there, sleep in their own beds and got their, you know, same routines at home. So, you know, we got our work cut out for us, but we're looking forward to it.
They don't have their work cut out for them. I don't see it. KD is playing at an exceptionally high level on offense. The real thing about KD, of course he can score from anywhere. We all know that. But at his height, his sight line is clean to survey the floor, and he's a willing and excellent passer. You know, he doesn't have, we don't think of him as like, you know, LeBron or one of these guys who's like some genius next level passer. KD is an excellent passer. He's offensively a whole lot. It's just that, you know, so many people. Andre Snelling's, the Bucks can beat him. Kendrick Perkins, the Bucks can beat him. Guys, no James Harden. They're beating him by, at one, like in the, what was it, early fourth quarter, they were up 40-something points. Good Lord. Is KD the best player in the world? Oh, yeah. Today he is. You know who it was the day? Because he's the last great player to play in these playoffs. LeBron's hurt. The crown is up for grabs. At least a piece of the title is up for grabs. LeBron won't be the undisputed best player in basketball at the end of this season. He'll have a claim like, yeah, you know, I was hurt and AD wasn't even available. So I'm not trying to hear that just because LeBron didn't play in the finals or win the title, he's no longer the best in the game. But given his age and the fact that this is two out of the last three seasons where injury played a role in him not winning the title, can we still call him the best? He'll have a chance next year to prove it, just like he came back and proved it last season, won the title, and was, yeah, okay, sorry, LeBron, you're the guy. He's going to have to prove it again, though. Always got to prove it and reprove it, right, in life. He's going to have to prove it again. Someone else is going to have a piece of the crown. Is it going to be KD? Is Harden going to get healthy? Will it be Harden? Is it going to be Kawhi, who's been unbelievable, back to the wall? Airballed a three, and it looks like they're going to collapse again. At the end of the game, he airballs the three, and he didn't have a good game, and Luka's clearly the best player on either team, and yo, Kawhi, what's up? 45 points on crazy shooting. And then follows that up with 28, 10, and 9 on 10 of 15 from the field. And his team wins both games. And he accepts the responsibility of guarding Luka, making his life difficult more often in the last two games. Kawhi finished 60, 40, 90. Not 50, 40, 90. 60, 40, 90. 200 points in the series. The only players with at least 200 points and a 60-40-90 split, meaning field goal, three-pointer, and free throw percentage, ever in the playoffs, in the history of the playoffs, are Bernard King, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Shaq, and now Kawhi. So right now, KD looks like he's the dude. And the day before that, it looked like Kawhi. And Jokic had some games, he was about to be the MVP, where maybe it's Jokic. And Luka had, maybe it's Luka, though he's not going to have a chance to prove it now. Yeah, and maybe, you know what, if push comes to shove, if I had to guess, I'd say KD will be the guy when the smoke clears that I believe has has a piece of LeBron's title, because his team's going to win the whole thing and he's the best player on the team. Even if I think Harden's the most important player, and originally I said he was going to win Finals MVP, but what KD is showing now with Kyrie and Blake is that they have enough. And that's the thing about Blake. What, I'm getting back to my original point. What if it's Blake versus the Clippers? What if the Clippers get there and Blake has a chance for revenge? It's like an underrated storyline. Before we go to the Goodyear hotline, we have a call on the 1-800-SNITCH hotline, apparently. What's up, Raj?
Yeah, I hate to do it because yeah, he's like fam, but you know, Perk is like, hit me up anytime, come on. So we had him scheduled to come on yesterday. We ready, talk some hoops, chop it up with him. And the second TV or someone call, Rachel Nichols or Jefferson, you know, call, He just dumps us like dumps us. Like a don't even answer habit. The phone. Be like, nah, B, I'm busy now.
Yo, Perk,
you know what
man,
I'm saying?
It's all types of messed up, brother. What's up? Kendrick Perkins. I think you scared him off the hotline, Raj. Where are you, Perk?
I know I didn't get that type of welcome. Hey, Raj, you something else, man. You get Max is rubbing off on you right now.
It's facts. Facts.
Hey, you know what, Raj? Don't distract.
Yeah, Raj, I'm telling you, do not follow Max Kellerman, okay? We're good, all right? Listen, I said call me on at any time, but look, Roz and Max, y'all have me on once every 3 weeks. I don't know when y'all going to invite me on to the show.
See, that's Raj. Raj knows you're supposed to be on at least once a week. What's up, Raj?
Yeah, but I mean, once a week. I mean, you want me to start turning cartwheels because I'm on once a week?
Well, yeah, it's a good point, Raj. Why do we only have him on once a week? When I've been demanding, yeah. He's on more than once a week, Raj.
You said because when we have Marcus Spears on, there's a weight limit and we can't exceed it.
Boy, y'all rude. Hey, y'all not right today, man. Right, telling you, man. You know, as big fellas, we sensitive about our weight.
Raj, he is not only a superstar NBA analyst. He's an NBA champion. What'd you play, 14 seasons in the league, Perk? I mean, no, it's the great Kendrick Perkins. And Raj, don't distract, because I could have sworn dude went by the name Kendrick Perkins, tried to tell me the Bucks are going to beat the Nets. Perk. They didn't even have Harden in games one or two. They beat him down. Yeah. I think they're still scoring on him somewhere. What happened?
Yeah, I'll tell you what happened. Is that I broke my code and I started listening to everybody else and following the Giannis train. You know, the train that I was begging and pleading last year not for everybody not to hop on when everybody was talking about PER and MVP. And I kept telling y'all, oh, he's not that. He's not really an MVP type level player. He's not going to perform in the playoffs. You remember everybody was telling me about how great of a defender he is, and he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. And they gave him that award, knowing it was supposed to be Anthony Davis. And so I fell for it. I saw this year that Giannis started hitting a few jump shots, and then I'm like, oh, okay, Giannis didn't elevate his game, and here we are again, back to the same damn conversation that we had been in for the last 2 years.
Yeah, he got
Giannis
me once
is
like
not
that.
A Batman.
Perk, he got me once Giannis like that. He got me once like that a couple years ago. You know, like he had a great first series and he was up 2-0 on Kawhi and then he collapsed. He can't shoot and he doesn't have enough support, Perk. This is what I'm saying. I like the cut of Drew Holiday's jib, you know, all that stuff. But the fact of the matter is, Drew Holiday's not a future Hall of Famer. Chris Middleton's not a future Hall of Famer. KD's got Kyrie and Harden when he's healthy and Blake Griffin's healthy. And he's got Hall of Famers everywhere you look. How do the Bucks match up?
Well, first of all, let's while you're trying to address what I said about my picks and my prediction, let's address you real quick.
Why are you bringing up old
stuff? Mr. James Harden is the guy. Mr. James Harden is the one that makes this Brooklyn Nets team run.
Yep.
Where it's running perfectly well without James Harden right now.
Facts.
And you know what else?
No.
You know what else happened? Mm. Let me tell you this. And it might sound crazy to you right now, but when you get home and you're eating your dinner or whatever the hell you plan on eating when you get home tonight, and you think about what Perk said, the best thing that probably happened for the Knicks, and I'm not saying I wish injuries on anyone, is James Harden being out. You know why?
They're forced
because
to figure it out.
It made Kevin Durant elevate his game even more. And now we get to see not only Kevin Durant the scorer, but we get to see Kevin Durant the facilitator. We get
Agreed.
To see Kevin Durant the defender. And now, guess what? For the Brooklyn Nets, instead of having James Harden out there trying to defend one of those guys, you got Bruce Brown, who's getting a lot of minutes. That's junking it up. That's mixing it up. So now the whole dynamic and now the whole Nets identity has changed because of the personnel. But I'm not going to let you off the hook.
Oh, let me. Oh, that's a good, nice try, Perk. I took the Nets and I said if the Nets are healthy, no one will take them seven games. Not the Bucks, not the Lakers, not the Sixers. No one's taking them seven. You picked the Bucks, and you have the
that's
nerve
fine.
To come on and say, you're not going to let me slide?
No, Max, that's fine, and I'm okay with that. All I'm telling you is that I just want to hear the praises of Kevin Durant.
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt.
Because all I kept hearing from you is James Harden this and James
Kendrick
Harden
Perkins, NBA analyst on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio. You're right about me saying that about Harden. I still believe that about Harden. But you know what I think happened? You're right to say Kevin Durant facilitator. We saw this even against Toronto right before the Achilles went. At his height and his willingness to pass and his efficiency, he can make an offense run really well, even with his passing. Like, Durant is great. He's unbelievably great, no doubt. But what I've noticed in this series is they still have a big three perk. Blake went for, what, 18 and 14 or something like that, and then followed it up. He didn't put up the numbers, but the way he dunked on Giannis tells me, oh, wait a minute, that's still Blake Griffin.
Oh, my God. Max, cut it out. Look, I'm not taking anything from Blake Griffin. He did what he was supposed to do, and he played well at home like role players do. I keep preaching and telling you this. Role players play well at home. The crowd get them into it. They make the hustle plays. They have games outside of their body. When the role players get on the road, let's see if it's the same Blake Griffin.
But you acting like Blake's never been a star. He's been a star.
I'm not saying that, Max, but I'm saying he's not a star right now. He's a role player. He's a role player that's flourishing under Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. Now, when they get to Milwaukee on Thursday, we know what KD and Kyrie is going to do. We know that because superstars are going to be superstars whether they're at home or on the road. The role players for the team on the road is going to be the deciding factor whether a visiting team could take home a victory. Okay? That's what I'm trying to explain to you. You remember the game 6 against the Dallas Mavericks with the Clippers?
Yep.
Kawhi went there and dropped 45. But you know who had 25 to help uplift the Clippers? Reggie Jackson, a role player. He stepped up when it matters the most, which we rarely see happen. Do you think Blake Griffin can go into Milwaukee and get you 18 and 14 on the road?
Yeah, I think Blake, the way he's – I'll tell you why, Perk. He was once a superstar or the next thing to it. And it wasn't because he could shoot or his passing or anything like that. It was that he physically could jump out the gym and he could play ball, right? So what I saw, the reason I'm very high on him right now is not only the numbers he put up as a role player in game one, but physically what he looked like when he put Giannis on a poster last night. Because if Blake can jump out the gym, then that's Blake Griffin. And you can't pretend, if it's Blake Griffin, that's a star player. So that's what I'm saying, not just a role player.
Yeah, Max, Blake is a star. And I also was a franchise player in high school, okay? So, you telling me that? I mean, I showed flashes in the playoffs also as well throughout my playoff career where I had 16 points, 18 rebounds, and seven blocks in the game. I showed flashes of my high school days where I was a star. But I was still a role player.
But if you have – this is my point, Perk. If you have a dude who's physically still capable of doing what he did when he was a star, and Blake showed the last two games he is, as a role player, you have an embarrassment of riches. And what's going to happen when Harden gets back and your starting five is Harden and Kyrie and Joe Harris and Blake and KD? Who's going to stop him?
Hey, Max, you know what? I just want you and Raj to bring me back on Friday, okay?
Yes.
Bring me back on Friday after game 3, and let's revisit this conversation.
Okay, Raj, do you hear Perk? He's volunteering to come on this week again. So I want you to lift your Kendrick Perkins as much as once a week, Ben, to get him on again. He's a big media star now. You should see his YouTube numbers. Everything Perk touches, he's got the Midas touch. So you bring him back. He's offering. Lift the ban, Raj. Free Perk.
Free Perk. I'm going to say yes, but if I say yes and he says he's coming on, then we can't reach him. And lo and behold, I turn on the jump and there he is waxing loquaciously about how the Bucks
Raj,
are going to be.
Raj, you know why it's free Perk? Raj, you know why it's free Perk? Because we don't pay him anything to do this. That's why it's free Perk. You take what you can get. What do you do? What do you mean? He's gonna, if he's volunteering, if he comes on, great. If he doesn't, we'll get him next time.
It's done. Let's get him back on. Perk is fan.
All right. The great Kendrick Perkins, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. Perk. Always appreciate it when you jump on. Big Perk, join me on the Goodyear Hotline. The Max Kellerman Show is presented by Progressive Insurance. Rob Pelinka says he knows what the Laker roster needs. If you're a business owner who's hiring, it can feel like trying to find a needle in a haystack. But when you post a job on ZipRecruiter, their matching technology finds these qualified candidates for you. Let me rephrase that. Their matching technology finds these qualified candidates for you. Look at how the meaning changes when I emphasize the for you, Raj, and invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. So while other companies give you too many options, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this web address, ziprecruiter.com/max. That's ziprecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Also check me out on the ESPN app and Sirius XM channel 80. Lakers fans, are you a couple of pieces away from getting back to the finals? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You miss any of the Max Kellerman Show today? I talked about naked singularities and Kevin Durant. And what else? And I talked about LeBron James. Aaron Rodgers played all the hits. So what you really should do is wherever you get your podcasts, you go and you download the Max Kellerman Show. And I don't care if you listen or not even. I just want credit for the download. Rob Pelinka said that shooting is at the top of the Lakers' minds during the offseason. Quote, you can never have enough shooting. It's something that always is at the top of our mind when we're building or constructing a roster. I think it's important, too. Part of successful shooting is having special players that create the shooting space. And for us, that comes primarily from LeBron and Anthony. You bring up this series, but when you take someone like Anthony out of some of the games, it changes the spacing and shooting success. And everyone knows. LeBron talked about it last night. We knew he had a high ankle sprain. It would probably not be until the offseason that it got 100%. But I think the success of our shooting is driven by those guys creating space. And because of the things we faced with injuries, some of that space is altered. Oh, there's no question that that's true. Of course that's true. Do the Lakers have enough shooting with LeBron and AD both healthy to get out of the West? Yes, they do. I agree with Rob Pelinka. But not to beat Brooklyn. You're going to need more, much more, to beat Brooklyn. Like, look what Daryl Morey did. Showed up in Philly, and you blink, and there's Seth Curry and Danny Green. And I understand that Danny Green was kind of expensive for the Lakers. And when you're giving LeBron and AD all that, you want a more dynamic, younger player than Rondo, although you were hoping at the time, maybe Schroeder will show up in the playoffs. He didn't. Rondo did. Schroeder didn't. But I get why you let Danny Green go, though he can defend and shoot. He can really 3-and-D. But you didn't replace Danny Green and Seth Curry, and you didn't pick up a guy like Seth Curry. There were guys like Luke Kennard and Shamet and Curry who can really shoot, and there are guys like that available every offseason. And so Pelinka will have a chance to pick up some real shooters in this offseason. Not some guy. There's a difference between 3-and-D guys by reputation or 3-point shooters by reputation. In other words, they're volume shooters and they shoot 36%, 37% from three. And real shooters. Because on a team with LeBron, like, that shooter is going to be better. I just said 36, 37%. With LeBron, that's a 38, 39% shooter. But when you get real shooters, guys who are better than 40% even with volume from three, spot-up guys who can, like, they don't create their own shot or they'd be stars, right? But guys who can spot up, LeBron's going to get them wide-open looks, especially on a team with Anthony Davis. Because defenses have to, you know, do something to stop those guys. And LeBron is a basketball genius. He'll get him wide open looks. But now Pelinka's got to go construct the roster. And again, it's not about getting out of the West. Healthy LeBron and AD, I agree with Rob Pelinka. They'd have gotten out of the West. It's about dealing with them boys in Brooklyn. Those Nets. Oh, my God. What are you going to do? Richard in Manhattan, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Max, with the Islanders and the Nets vying for championships,
okay,
it got me thinking again.
Hmm.
In the history of the four major sports, the history,
four, okay,
except for the New York Nets in the ABA,
yeah,
the Brooklyn Dodgers in 1955, mm-hmm, and the New York Islanders in the early 80s.
Yeah.
Every team or franchise that's won a championship celebrated in a major city,
right,
or a city. I can't think of any other franchise that wasn't associated with the city. Now, the same thing will happen this time. If Brooklyn wins it, they're going to celebrate in Brooklyn, and the Islanders, as they always do, celebrate on Long Island. Can you think of any other franchise in any of the four major sports throughout the history that has celebrated, that hasn't celebrated in a city?
Well, Brooklyn was once the four. If you ever watched Welcome Back, Kotter,
right?
And I think you were actually probably the principal of the school. But if you ever watch Welcome Back, Kotter, you know, it was the fourth largest city in America at one point. Brooklyn is a city.
It wasn't a city.
It's a city within a city.
Celebrated in downtown Brooklyn in 1955.
I hear what you're saying. Listen, as usual, Richard, you bring up an interesting point, though. I don't know who else is thinking of that point. But Brooklyn is like, take Philadelphia. Philadelphia is Brooklyn if there was no Manhattan there. Brooklyn's basically like Philly, but it's in New York City. But it has its own identity. I understand what you're saying. When you say the four major sports, there's a big difference between the economy as a reflection of fan interest. You know, football, basketball, baseball, and hockey. It's a little bit of a stretch over the last, or at any point in the United States, to call hockey one of the four major. There are three major sports, and if you want to include a fourth as a team sport, it would be hockey, although I don't know what hockey's economy is compared to college football or college basketball. Coming up, last take is your take. I'm going to get to calls more than just Richard. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.
The Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Check me out on the ESPN app and SiriusXM Channel 80. Going to get to your calls here in Last Take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Last Take is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
You heard First Take?
At least it's good to hear your voice finally, because yeah. I know on First Take, I only hear you on the intro and outro.
Now hear Max's Last Take.
All right. Let's get to this here. Zoldan. It's like, by the way, if your name is Zoldan, it should be like, you should have The Destroyer as your last name. Zoldan the Destroyer or something.
Thanks, Max.
Yeah.
That's great. I just want to say I love the show. Really, I love your show. I love you on First Take.
Yes, yes.
I'm calling from Israel now, actually. Mm-hmm. I live in New York, but I'm in Israel studying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so my question for you was, with the results from last night and overall in the playoffs, the Nets, you could see even without their debatably the best or second best offensive player, James Harden, they're still dominating. They're beating the second best or third best team in the East,
yep,
easily by 40 points. You think that the NBA should take like steps to avoid like such super teams? Like, this is even better than D-Wade, LeBron, and
yeah, Bosch, I would say super-duper teams are a problem when players essentially conspire to play with each other. The problem is not an issue. Like, I don't know. The problem is an issue of incentive. What KD realized is that if you're on a great team, if your teammates are great too, but you're like super great, like an MVP caliber player, if he gets with many great teammates, the perception of him will change. Imagine if KD never went to Golden State. He still wouldn't have a championship. Right? And we'd be thinking of him differently. Well, KD can't lead a team to a title. But because he went to the best team ever, he's got two finals MVPs. And now he's on Brooklyn, the new best team ever. He's going to get another one. And the whole perception of him changed. So players are incentivized to seek out, you know, real, recognized, real. Great players are incentivized to seek out other great players to play with. What do you do to stop that? I mean, I don't know. And then the issue is like a super team is fine, whatever. a super-duper team, meaning a team that can't lose, is something else. And LeBron made a super team with him, Dwayne Wade, and Bosh. KD one-upped him. He's like, oh, you think that's something? I'm not going to put a team together. I'm simply going to join a 73-win team. A 7-foot sniper who can defend five positions is going to and get to the rack is going to join a 73-win team. And the only thing they really lost was Andrew Bogut. Get out of here. There's nothing you can do. It's anti-competitive. Chris in Atlanta, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Mr. Kellerman. Big fan of the show. I've been listening to your boxing one recently as well. Big fan of that.
Thank you, brother.
So my question is, so with the first round, what made the Knicks-Hawks series so entertaining was, in my opinion, the rise of the supervillain in Trae Young. You know, he really just leaned into that role and became, you know, hated in New York. They still hate him today, you know, taking a bow on center court as he's kicking their team's butt by 20. You know, he just rose up to the occasion, and what made that series so entertaining was, you know, having that bad guy to root against for the Knicks.
Sure.
So my question is, you know, how important is it for the NBA, you know, in terms of entertainment value to have, you know, these
rivalries.
Bad guys to root against?
Yeah, what you're talking about is rivalries where they're not afraid to really go at each other and each other's fan base. Trae Young is a perfect foil for a team like the Knicks, but I think he's even better than that. But I totally look. We understand the world as human beings through storytelling. Even if there's some new scientific breakthrough, they use metaphors and they tell stories to explain it to us. Our brains process information better that way and understand the world that way. And we are interested in sports insofar as we're interested in the stories. And you're only interested in stories insofar as you're interested in characters. Who are they? What do they want? What's the obstacle in their way? And so a character like Trae Young, for his own fan base, they love him. He's this little guy. He's playing like Steph, but maybe he'll be more clutch. And can he take the Hawks and win a championship one day or this year, defy expectations, maybe get to the Eastern Conference Finals, stuff like that? But for the teams playing him, he's the obstacle in the way. And, ooh, it's a formidable obstacle because he can get to the paint. You see him hit floaters and hit free throws and draw fouls and hit from the outside, from way behind the arc, create space for his teammates, find his teammates with passes, collapse the defense. And he's talking to you the whole time? Ooh, you hate that guy, don't you? Ooh, that obstacle in the way, that antagonist is a great one. I think about, like, the greatest antagonists in the history of film, right? Like Darth Vader or Hannibal Lecter or who's another great one? Clubber Lang in Rocky III. Yeah, the obstacle that's in the way should be scary and should be the guy you love to hate. Riley in Maine, you're on the Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
Hey, Max, I was just wondering why no one's talking about the Suns-Nuggets game. You know, everyone's been talking about the Nets and the Bucks game, and we had Chris Paul drop 21, 11 assists, almost a triple-double, 6 rebounds.
I agree. I thought the Nuggets would win the series going in. I still think so. The Suns have to defend home court. They did. The Nuggets are going to have to win a road game. We'll see if they can. The Suns have a great crowd, great sixth man. We were talking about on First Take today. Chris Paul, his sense of timing in the game, what his team needs from him and when they need it, is uncanny. He's an all-time great. DeAndre Ayton's been a revelation because he was the biggest question mark on the team coming into this season. Number one overall pick. Can't call him a bust. Even in a draft with Luka and Trae Young, and still he's done his thing. But where you knew what you're getting from Chris Paul and Devin Booker in the backcourt, even on paper before the season began, and you knew Mikal Bridges and Crowder and Cam Johnson and these guys, you know what roles they're going to have, and you think they can perform them, you know, at the level you anticipate. You didn't know about Ayton. What's going to happen when he gets to the playoffs and has to face AD? Oh, Ayton did very well. What about Jokic? He even made Jokic's passing game difficult for Jokic. And Jokic had to expend energy on the other end of the court. No, the Suns, I liked them in the preseason a lot. They are real, and they are a threat to get out of the West. There's no two ways about it. By the way, but now they're going to eventually, like, they got to defend home court. They got to win game two. because Denver's a hard place to play at altitude. That they both these teams have real home court advantages. Marquise in New York, you got 30 seconds.
Hey, Max, it's Marquise from New York, Niagara Falls, New York, actually. I wanted to talk about, talk to you about the Clippers and see what you thought and see if Kawhi is going to be able to do it. He's been playing phenomenal, but I don't know if he's going to be able to, keep this high pace of playing up.
Well, he's done it a couple times before, finals MVP. If he does it this time, if Kawhi winds up finals MVP, does he have the crown? Max Kellerman Show, ESPN Radio.
The Max Kellerman Show, the podcast.